Today on Real Radio.
It's kind of hard to believe, but it appears that Israel never cried out to the Lord with a true heart until that seventh year. And then finally the people cried out. And they didn't even cry out in repentance. They just said, God help us.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a presentation taken from chapter 7. Now, this is the fascinating account of how Gideon's army was divinely reduced to just 300 men before battling an apparently superior enemy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Few Good Men.
Judges chapter 7, the life of Gideon. Gideon, interesting man in the book of Judges, which accounts for and records many great exploits of faith. Gideon is its most famous character. Gideon has, I think, somewhere close to 100 verses dedicated to him. And the book of Judges, beginning in chapter 6 with him, will follow him out for quite a while, as God uses Gideon in a tremendous way. His ministry and his walk with God will not always be flawless, but he is a man that we often want to mimic in a lot of ways. And here is a guy, if you remember, that was just a very, very terrified farmer. He was threshing wheat, not on the top of the hill where you thresh wheat. Remember, for fear, he was down in the bottom of the wine press threshing wheat. And you don't want to do that. And so he's down there with his little shovel throwing up the grain. There's no wind, so it's all landing on his head and landing all around him. You've got to thresh wheat on the hilltop where the wind blows. But because of the fear of the Midianites that had been marauding and crossing over Israel's borders and storming down into them at harvest time, they would steal all of the crops that Israel had farmed and gathered, and then they would go back, and they'd been doing this for 7 years. And Israel had just become so much, as it were, slaves to the Midianite marauders. It was a very tragic, tragic story. And it appears, it's kind of hard to believe, but it appears that Israel never cried out to the Lord with a true heart until that seventh year. And then finally the people cried out. And they didn't even cry out in repentance. They just said, God help us. They had strayed and gone away from the Lord, Yahweh, God of the Bible. And they had begun to worship other gods. But God raised up a deliverer by the name of Gideon. And so he is now over that scene that we spent time in where he was asking God, if you really called me to be a deliverer of your people, then here, take this chamois, this skin of an animal, and when I wake up in the morning, make it all wet with dew and all the ground around it dry. And God did that to confirm the calling. Gideon said, okay, that was great, God, thank you, but to be super sure, make the ground wet all around and the chamois, the skin, dry instead. So God did that too. And some people laugh at Gideon. Oh, look, he has no faith. Now, wait a minute. If you were a farmer or a programmer or a, you know, or whatever, and God said, hey, America's in a mess. I'm going to raise you up and you're going to deliver the United States from its waywardness, and you're going to call it to come back to me, and we're going to do that by you're going to be leading an army to deliver the nation. You would say, Lord, will you take this chamois and make it wet and the dry all around, the ground so dry? And you would do that. When God speaks to you, don't you want to make sure it's God speaking to you? I don't mock Gideon. No, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty wise. Oh, you know, what about fleeces? Well, listen, we talked about it before. Gideon laid out an impossible thing, and God answered. Some people say, well, God, you want me to go left? You want me to go right? I need to know what you want. So, and you throw out this, God, if you want me to do this, and you say something so ridiculous that it could just happen. Gideon was truly searching for the heart of God. By the way, Christian, old Christian, middle-aged Christian, young Christian, I mean spiritually aged. Don't take that personal. I'm talking about spiritually aged. When you call out to the Lord, God wants to answer you. He wants you to hear him. He is not some cosmic guy up there playing tricks like some kind of a shell game thing. He wants you to know his heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So let's look at our study together. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. The title of the message tonight is A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men. The Marines should use that. But we're going to use it tonight, A Few Good Men, because that's what God's going to do, and he's going to use Gideon to get it done. Verse 1, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, listen to what the Lord says, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, leaving 10,000 people there. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of the one who I say, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who laughed, that is putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who laughed, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands and sent them away, all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below in the valley. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Verse 12, now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as the sands by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion, and he said, I've had a dream. And to my surprise, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is none else than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Wow. Amazing. Point number one tonight, found in verses 1 to 3. A few good men, what can God do? God, first of all, doesn't need any men to do what he wants to do. Gideon's confidence would be in the Lord. Mark that down, Christian. This is great. Oh, if we just had more people. Oh, we could do this or we could do that. Listen, I'm telling you right now, Gideon's confidence is in the Lord. And there's a process of this going on. From God calling him out of that threshing activity in the wine press to the point of him now, this is what you're going to do. His confidence is in the Lord. Christian, your confidence in mine must be in the Lord like never before. God wants to move. He wants to do great things, and he's looking for someone that he might show himself mighty and strong on our behalf. I pray to the Lord that we would be that people. You say, what people? Well, that we would be that 300. What 300? Well, each of us, maybe one man. God wants to move. We will not settle for God using somebody else. I mean, I'm grateful if God has to use somebody else, but I'm also sad and sickened that God would have to pass us over and not use us. We are living in amazing times, and God needs just a few good men. He's asking for a few good men to be involved. Gideon's confidence would be in the Lord this way. Understanding in verse 1 that a future is based upon where he stood. As God's call comes upon Gideon, the future of Israel will be played out. In fact, it's recorded in your Bible. Against all odds. Listen, the Midianites, they're the ones who invented camel warfare. They had such high-tech military mindedness that they had the most massive army on camelback that the world had ever seen. Now, I don't know about you. We don't see many camels. Have you ever been up close to a camel? Have you been with us to Israel? You know, everybody says, ride on the camel, ride on the camel. I've ridden on camels. I don't want to ride on any more camels. The last time we were there, last year we were there. Somebody said, we want you to ride on the camel. We want you to ride on the camel. I said, I'm done doing camels. I don't ride camels anymore. They're scary animals. They stink. Their teeth are all stinky and crooked and drooling, and they make this sound. They're horrible. They'll spit at you. They're just sick. Can you imagine? And then when it stands up and it goes, when it stands up, it looks like, you know, it's ugly, kind of just flat out goofy looking, stinky, flies around it. It hurts to stand up. Once it stands up, let me tell you something. You are not making fun of that animal when it stands up. In fact, you go like this when it stands up. They're terrifying. Can you imagine some guy coming after you with a sword on the back of a camel? They had more camels. The valley was covered with camels and with soldiers. The natural mind says, this is impossible. We're hightailing it out of here. And God says, listen, I made camels. I can tell those camels to not move. I can tell them to die. I can tell them to run the other way. I can tell them to do anything I want. How big is your God? How big is God? There's nothing impossible for him. What happens here with Gideon? The very place where he's at will establish the future of Israel. And I'm just of the insane mindset that I believe that you and I, silly me, I believe that you and I were born into this world for such a time as this. I don't believe God makes mistakes. You say, well, Pastor, I feel like a mistake. You may feel like a mistake, but God did not make a mistake in making you and having you living and breathing right now. This is God's plan for your life now, to be a vital, active, spirit-filled believer at a time like this. Not to watch everybody go by, but to understand that if God can work a victory against all odds, he's going to call out 300 men. Now look, we already know, theologically, God didn't even need the 300 men. They got to be involved. But they were standing, as it were, in their future. You and I need to think about that. The mundane routine of life. Understand, you are based and the foundation of what you're doing right now, as mundane as it might be, God is working a future for your life, for the lives of those that you love. And so it says in verse 1 that Jerubbaal, remember his name? That's what his name was changed to. It means Baal fighter. or contender, Baal fighter or troubler, one who troubles Baal. What a great, man, I want that name. Don't you want that name? It'd be great to have a name, Satan troubler. That's who you are. You get on your knees, you pray, you drive Satan crazy. You gotta change his name, Satan troubler. Every Christian should be a Satan troubler. So they give him a new name, Baal fighter, Baal troubler. And all the people who were with him rose early, and they encamped there beside the well of Harod. And so the Midianites are there. There's the battle lines beginning to be drawn. But his future, the future of the nation, is based upon the very fact where Gideon stood. And I believe that's significant today. We also understand this, that Gideon's confidence would be in the Lord this way, that God's word is not bound by physics. God's very word invented physics. Some of you science-minded people, you need to understand that. God's word does not submit to science. Science submits to God's word. He's the divine engineer creator. It's his word. And by the way, whenever you see good science, you know that will always be in conjunction with the Bible. The Bible and good science will never contradict. If there's one thing history has taught us, it's that. Just read your Bible and be patient, and you'll see science will catch up to the Bible. It's amazing. But when we think about this, God's word is not bound by physics. In verse 2, it says that the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. There's too many people to bring the Midianites into your hands. Can't do that. Or else Israel's going to claim glory for itself. If I give you the victory like this, they're all going to say, well, we had so many people that we did it without God. Isn't it funny how we are as humans? Human nature is like that. We're all trembling and terrified. And then when it's over or when it passes, we say, oh, that wasn't so bad. We're all timid, and then we get through it, and it's like, yeah, it was nothing. I don't do amusement parks. It says in the Bible right there, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. But I see friends, because I'll go, and I sit down with the little grandmas and the little girls. I just sit right there. And I see all these guys, it's funny because, you know, oh, yeah, you know, welcome to America. Let's go to Disneyland. Here you go. Come on, you're going to come? No, I'm going to sit right here and take care of the grandmas and the little girls here. Just. And you can see them, well, okay, all right, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. They're terrified. And then when it's over, you know, I told you I wasn't afraid. There's this thing about human nature. I'm afraid, I'm terrified. But if we wind up being successful or coming through it or getting on the other end of it and the release comes and the weight's lifted, we have a tendency to boast about it. Oh, it was nothing. Come on, don't be a baby. Human nature's like that. God says, no, I'm not going to give you the Midianite victory with so many people. Israel's going to take it to their head. That has always been the case. History buffs, study the war in 67 and the Yom Kippur War. Look at those wars that Israel completely outnumbered, impossible odds. And God brings you through. Every time since 1948 that Israel has had a war, she's either defended herself and stayed intact, or after she was attacked and she defended herself, her borders increased. Every time. God does not care about numbers, and he doesn't care about physics. He can do a miracle. And that's what he's going to do here. Lest Israel claim the glory. And so Gideon's confidence is of the Lord, looking to the Lord, knowing that the history of Israel is before his feet and that God could do anything. And then thirdly, verse 3, look at this. There's a call to excellence. I love this verse. Gideon's confidence would be in the Lord, and there's a call to excellence. Christian, listen up. Now therefore proclaim to the hearing of the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once. Basically, go home. And 22,000 people got up and left. By the way, that was a command in Deuteronomy. If you're going to get ready to go to war and somebody wants to wimp out and head to Canada, then let them go. And God put that in there. You want to go to Canada? Go. Don't go to war. Go. I'll go to war with the guys that I've called. This is exactly, it's being lived out here in this portion of Scripture. Mentioned in Deuteronomy, lived out here. God says, if you're afraid, stay home. Can you imagine? All right, we're going to go to battle. We're going to go to war. They got camels, swordsmen. Look at them. They're like locusts. All right, here we go. Now, before we go, whoever wants to go home, go home. 22,000 people got up and left. Can you imagine? That's like the Marine Corps quitting tonight. We quit. Can you imagine that? And you're standing there, and you see these people turning around. They're walking. See you, Bob. Okay. Can you imagine the hearts of those 10,000 who stayed? It's amazing to me that they had 10,000 who stayed. You know, when somebody surrenders, it's got a nasty effect on people. I've told many of you to read that book, 1776. You're not going to like this, but it's true. George Washington, we were so outnumbered by the English that at the battle there in Boston, when they're at Dorchester Heights, right before they get ready to defend, thank God God had another plan and changed the whole thing, put surrendering, as it were, or backing up and getting out of the harbor into the English. God put that into them, and they said, let's get out of here. But George Washington told them, if any man, because it's so contagious, fear, if any man shows any fear tomorrow, you will be shot. Because one man fears, it will affect 10 men, and they've got 49,000 soldiers, and we've got 6,000. So anybody starts getting wimpy, just know this, you're going to get shot. Now that is a tremendous incentive. Wow. These guys are evacuating. What's the call to excellence? God does not want, listen carefully, God does not want a heart of timidity in battle. He doesn't need a massive army to get the job done. But he doesn't want timidity in the heart in the midst of the war. It would be like you and I praying and praying and praying for someone to be healed or something to happen, and somebody in the prayer meeting says, I just don't think it's going to happen. It's just, that's it. Look, our hearts are prone to fear and to doubt anyway. And then for someone to show cowardice or to be timid, it affects the entire troop. And so God says, listen, this is excellence. Go home and leave only the willing. You see, well, Pastor, I'm afraid that I would be in the group that would retreat. I am too. This is why we have such a wonderful prayer that we can offer up to an awesome God. We can pray prayers like this. God, I'm scared of my surgery tomorrow. Or I'm scared of my job interview tomorrow. Or God, I'm scared of this situation. But I ask you to take away my fear. Lord, I don't know if I remembered everything for the exam, but I'm asking you to bring it to my memory. Our God is like that. I don't know how willing I am, Lord, to follow through on this thing that I know I should do. Will you make me willing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Few Good Men, taken from the first 15 verses of Judges chapter 7. We'll continue with more in this chapter on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a topical series called Life and the Bible. You know, many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, suggestions, tips, certainly commands on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series called Life and the Bible. And this week, for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Life and the Bible, Being a Christian in Your Relationships. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.